Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. And everything that is ever on this program and everything I do is directed towards that purpose, to support you and all of us in having our dreams come true, in living a daily life of miracles from this time forth and forevermore. And it's really time. It's really, really, really time to do that. And in light of that, I like to share with you often one of the greatest, most light-filled, joyous miracles in my life, the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear author and animal communicator, creator of Anaflora flower essences for animals and people, the minister of Sacred Spirit Ministry. And I have so many more things to say about you, Sharon, but I just want to welcome you and say thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you always make me feel welcomed. And I would also add to it that Iris is a Sacred Spirit minister, too.
I forgot that. I always forget that. It's funny. I am a minister, and I've been a minister for years and years and years. And I guess I don't think of myself as a minister always, because I don't fit my pictures of a minister. Now you do.
I think we have to change the picture of what a minister is.
Oh, because I'm sort of naughty, you know, and I cuss and I do naughty things.
It's the new wave of ministering.
The new way of ministering. But I guess I sort of feel like one of my most important directives is to sort of make space for people to be exactly as they are, not their title, not their not their role, but exactly as they truly are.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Iris, when we set up our church, which is Sacred Spirit Ministry, that's the name that came to me immediately, because I've always, from the time I was a child, loved the word minister, because, you know, the actual meaning of to minister is to give care and aid to others. And I just, you know, a lot of people that I passed the name by when we were trying to decide on the name for the church thought that maybe the word minister or ministry was old-fashioned. But I think it really absolutely fits the new age we're in. And it's just accepting the word minister, or to be a minister in a higher way. And I think really all of us, like all of the people that are listening to the show today and all of the people that you've interviewed all the time, in one way or another, we're all ministers, because once we've gotten past the ego sense of ourselves and really transcended into that awareness of our I Am presence, then really everything that we do becomes a caring for others. You know, caring for the plants, for the animals, for our families, our homes, our yards. So to me, the larger meaning of the word ministry is kind of reflective of the whole new understanding of how to be on Earth, which is to take very good care of everyone else and take the focus off of ourselves. So I'll bet that fits you better.
Well, you know, I also take very, very good care of myself.
You do?
I take very good care of myself. I feel that I've learned, by trial and error, that it's the only way to extend myself to the world that I can't be of good while neglecting myself from the goodness of all the good that I want for the whole.
Oh, I think, you know, that's absolutely true. And again, I think we're kind of coming into a time where there's a whole definition of what caring for ourselves is, too, because I think at one time people thought of self-care more on the level of, like, fashion or kind of frivolous self-indulgence, whereas where I think that what you and I think of when we think of taking care of ourselves is really honoring our bodies, minds, and spirits as like vehicles for the divine. And, you know, we really, our body is the vehicle for our I Am presence while we're here. So it's very important to keep it in good shape and wear beautiful clothing. And it's an interesting topic because it's more along the lines to me of like self-adornment and self-care that treats the body as that physical vehicle that we are, that temple of the living God.
Well, I think one of the best ways to take care of ourselves is to be kind and loving and more than humane, just gently caring and adoring of all life.
Yes.
Like when I see a dog walk by, I stop and adore it.
Absolutely.
And give thanks to it and tune into it and feel its heart. And if I can, if it's a big dog, I like to get down on my knees and put my heart against its heart and hug it.
Isn't that just one of the most wonderful things in all the world?
It is. It is. And they love us so much. It's like to get down on your knees and hug a dog is to give yourself one of the greatest gifts there is on earth.
It truly is. I think we should have a hug a dog day.
Hug
every
a dog
day.
Hug a dog day.
And you're right, there is something very special about hugging a dog in that way or picking up a cat so that we're really heart to heart with that animal. That there's just nothing quite like it.
There isn't. There isn't. And I think one of the things that's dearest to my heart is really, really looking truly at what is humane.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, finally, they took me off the Humane Society list because, you know, I give to all of these other animal things, and so the Humane Society got wind of this and started.
They thought you were being naughty.
So they started sending me these things asking for money, and I just sent back a letter every time and say, humane and euthanasia. I mean, humane is an oxymoron when you talk about it with euthanasia.
Right. And did they respond to you, Iris?
No, no. They just kept sending me things asking for money. And I really know in my heart that there is a home for every person and every animal. And the belief that there aren't enough homes for animals is kind of what causes so much homelessness in people.
That's right. I mean, it's just a myth, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, if we're born into this world as a human being or a dog or cat or other kind of animal, of course there's a home for us or we wouldn't be here.
God was thinking of a perfect place for us.
That's right. Absolutely. I think one of the greatest things that we can do for animals is really to dispel that thought that's held in the collective consciousness that animals have to be eliminated because there's not room for them or not home, a home.
Well, and also the thought that they don't have souls.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Sharon, the more I know animals, the more amazed I am. They love their children as much as us.
They absolutely do.
They love and honor each other more than people do.
Every animal does. I mean, you look at these beautiful pictures. I mean, one of the wonderful things about the internet is, I don't know about you, but I get all these wonderful pictures of animals from people almost on a daily basis, of polar bears and monkeys and every kind of animal under the sun with their little babies. And you look at those pictures, I don't know how anyone could think that they don't have just the same love that we do for their children. They're absolutely and completely devoted.
They are. And, you know, and I think about myself as a mom. How would I feel if I knew my child was going to be experimented on to make mascara? How would I feel if I knew my child was going to be locked for 6 months in a little bitty shed and then slaughtered and called veal?
Isn't that awful?
How would I feel if my child's skin was going to be ripped off to make a purse?
And you know, one of the challenges is that a lot of people don't believe or can't accept that animals know all of those things, and that a mother animal that's pregnant, they really do know that they're bringing in a baby into the world that might have some of those horrible things happen to it. They know ahead of time. And a lot of beautiful animals that are in zoos and in captivity in different ways get very depressed when they get pregnant, because they're, you know, usually they're forced to breed or they're artificially inseminated.
By a guy they might not even like.
By a guy they might not even like. And they know that they're bringing that baby into a situation where it will also have to be captive for the rest of its life.
I love that banner that you have and that you gave me that says, "May all beings be free."
Yes.
I wish that with all my heart.
I do too.
And you know what else I wish, Sharon? That everything you and I have ever wished for everyone's dreams to come true, all humans, all animals, every living being, past, present, and future, that comes true now. And all we prayed and decreed and asked and worked for does happen now. And that would mean that people have to wake up and look into animals' eyes.
Especially the mother animals. Because I think any woman or man, adult woman or man who has their own children, if you really look into the eyes of an animal that's a mother, you can't help but see that there's no difference. They're just like we are, with all the same feelings, the same love for their children, the same concern that they have a beautiful life. All of the feelings and emotions that we have towards our children, they have towards theirs.
Sharon, Mother's Day is coming up.
It is.
I think you and I ought to do some more shows between now and Mother's Day, and let's just focus on mothers.
Yes, all species, interspecies mothers.
Yes, all mothers everywhere. And being a mother is one of the most sacred things.
It totally is one of the most sacred things there is.
Well, I say this, every animal, every person, every being has a right to see their child grow up strong and beautiful and happy and free and fulfilling their destiny, what they came to do. You know, I have two kitties that were from shelters. And one of them was on death row, and she was rescued by the Tony La Russa, the ARF people. And it's so wonderful. All these people volunteer, and they take this truck out and park it in a where you're going to the bank or something, like
isn't
I was.
Wonderful?
Yeah. I was innocently going to the bank. I had five cats. I wasn't planning on any more. And this little paw reached out to me. There was no way I could not go in that van.
You were ambushed.
I was ambushed by Arf and Princess Daphne. And she always knew she was coming here, and she has such beautiful gifts to give, and I think, what if someone hadn't looked in her eyes and said, you have something to give this planet.
And boy, does she.
I know.
Princess Daphne is one of the most glorious kitties ever. She's beautiful, gray and white, and very, very feminine and extremely present and very untraumatized by her experience of being on death row. I mean, to me, she's just a living example of the exuberance of life and leaving the past behind and getting on with things.
Yeah, and it's like she always knew she was coming here.
She did always know she was coming there. And she just didn't have a doubt at all.
I know, and she's just, you know, when I went in there and saw her in that van, she was like, hi, Mom.
How did you feel when you first laid eyes on her?
I felt like this one. I'm going to hold her first, but this one. And I didn't go in there to get any cats. You know, I had five cats. And they go through a little process when you bring some other cat in.
It wasn't too bad of a process, though, was it?
No, but I called you and asked you to speak to them before I got home. That was my first order of business. I was holding her in my lap. She was purring. I was in the car, and I went, oh, my God, call Sharon, ask her to speak to them. And would you tell people how they took it?
Well, you know, they knew that she was destined to come to you. They explained to us that they would have their own little reactions to it, but it would be perfectly all right. But really, Princess Daphne was brought into Iris's home as the partner to Prince Treasurus. And so he was a little bit shocked at first, I think because of her great beauty. But it wasn't long before they were really just hip to hip all the time.
They were playing by that night. But in the morning, he was a little bit jealous. He was like, hey, I'm the baby here. Wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I think a real important thing, too, for our listeners to know, you know, people who love animals who are bringing a new one home, is to make sure and talk to your animals ahead of time if you can.
I mean, if you know.
If you know. Sometimes you don't know, but if you know, let them know that there's a new one coming, because in that way you generate a kind of excitement about it and they can get ready, and it makes everything much, much easier.
Than having it sprung on them.
Sometimes you're just ambushed and there's nothing you can do.
But I was very grateful you spoke to them before I got home. It was quite necessary.
And Princess Daphne and Treasurus are just the cutest things together. They just absolutely adore each other. Follow each other around, sit together like little bookends at each corner of the gate and at the front of the house. They're so precious.
And they're just about the same size.
They are just about the same size. Very, very well matched.
Very well matched. Very sweet. Just, my kitties are, they're just the sweetest anyway.
I have a beautiful story from one of my clients that fits right in with our talk about motherhood. This wonderful woman rescued this little female feral kitten who was, I think she was just a little over 6 months old. And she took the kitten to the veterinarian to be spayed. And when they opened her up, they found that there were three little kittens inside. And my client, who was well acquainted with the veterinarian because she's taken her cats to him for years, was right there. And so the veterinarian asked her if she wanted the kittens aborted, and she said, absolutely not. You sew her right back up with those kittens inside. And Iris, they were the size of little peas. They were so small, three of them. And they were actually born just 2 weeks ago, and they're the most darling, precious, adorable things you have ever seen. Little striped faces like my Lily.
Yeah.
Just imagine if those beautiful little beings hadn't come into the world, what we would be missing.
I am so glad that Vet was just so present. And
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah, my client said that he was a little taken aback when she wanted the cat sewed up with the kitten still inside, but he was quite willing to do it. So the three of them were born, and they're all spoken for already, so their homes were lined up even before birth.
The miracle kittens.
The miracle kittens.
And they'll be spayed and not pass on anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Ah, that's very good. That's very good. You know, something I wanted to draw people's attention to was those elephant paintings. They're on YouTube, aren't they?
They are on YouTube, yeah.
It's called Elephant Self-Portrait.
Right.
And a very wonderful listener of the show actually emailed it to me, the beloved, beautiful Connie. And she emailed that to me. And I wanted you to talk to somewhat about that. I was a little bit worried. You know, elephants have been taught to do so many things, and
that's right.
They're so smart, and it's so unbelievable that they can paint like that. But do you think they're being treated well in that process?
They seem to be. I mean, on two levels. I mean, I was just totally entranced with it when I first saw it, because this one elephant that's highlighted in the video, everybody should go take a look on YouTube, but she literally does a self-portrait of herself, the full body, all four legs, her trunk.
She draws better than I do.
Yeah, hold it better than I do, too, holding a beautiful flower. And then there are some other videos of elephants painting. I think most of them are in Thailand and Burma. And of course, it is work for them to do that. I mean, if you consider, I mean, I couldn't draw like that. You couldn't easily draw like that. And when you consider the elephant is doing that using her trunk, it's a very, very tedious process, very exacting. But, you know, in the world as it is today, I mean, those elephants are out of a job. They would be working in probably the lumber industry. And so in order for them to continue to exist, it's just like with people, they have to do some form of work. And I think it's a much higher form of work and less stressful than the work that they previously had to do when they were having to carry big heavy logs all day, which is very physically exhausting. And when I tuned into those elephants, Iris, I really got the feeling that they knew
what they were giving.
They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were being viewed by people all over the world. They know that they're ambassadors teaching people about the tremendous intelligence of elephants and other animals and their artistic abilities. So I think it is a good thing. I mean, I suspect there are probably lots of elephants that are being taught to paint like that, and I'm sure, as in any other field, there are probably some that are being exploited or overworked. But the ones that were shown in the video, they seem to me to be quite happy.
They did to me, too. I just wanted to check your perception of it, because one of the things I noticed was that people really clapped for them. And
they did.
And afterwards, did you see that one where she went over and took a little bow and
I did.
Got peanuts and
yes.
from all of the onlookers? And But the first one that I saw, where it says elephant self-portrait, and that's how you find it on YouTube. It
yeah.
says amazing self-portrait of elephant or something like that. And she drew with humor and grace, and it had movement, it had character, and it was such simplicity.
Absolutely. Very, very zen-like.
Yeah.
And one of the most amazing things to me was at the very end when she drew her trunk holding that flower, the very last little touch, I think, was that she drew her trunk in a way that it was actually grasping the flower.
You know what I thought that last little thing was?
What?
I thought that was her paintbrush.
Did you?
Yeah, I have to look at it again.
I'd have to look at it again, too, but I thought she put a little touch on where her trunk was wrapped around, the tip of the trunk was wrapped around the stem of the flower.
It's just amazing. It just kind of, for me, my head just turned around.
And one of the things that I did think was very positive, as well as watching the beautiful paintings that the elephants were making, I was just looking at the elephants themselves, and they all seem to be healthy and well-fed looking.
Yeah, they did.
And I've actually meant to ask Carol Buckley at the Elephant Sanctuary about her take on it, but I haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. But my impressions, just communicating with the painting elephants telepathically, is they were quite happy to do it.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
It is.
And that they realize they're giving a great gift.
Oh, they do. They absolutely do.
Do you think a lot of animals have that they realize they're giving a great gift? Or do you think that a lot of them get really discouraged and sort of downtrodden with the way they're treated?
I feel that they're just like people, and just as, you know, in the world, there are probably more people that are discouraged and kind of downtrodden feeling. I think that probably overall in the world as it is today, that more animals feel exploited than anything. And the exploitation of the animals really creates a tremendous negative cloud that prevents them from being able to recognize the beautiful gifts that they have, in the same way that can happen to people that have had a difficult time.
Well, you know, one of the things you said in one of our first shows was that when animals are subjected to this suffering, when their children are taken away, when their children are slaughtered, when they're sometimes slaughtered in front of them, when they're, you know, closed up in little... I mean, I signed a petition the other day for a bill for factory farming that makes it so it's illegal not to have a place where a farm animal can actually straighten out their legs, but it doesn't, you know, become affected till 2013. I just had a fit when I saw that. It's like, what is wrong with now? It's
yeah.
like if animals are treated this way, there is this layer of suffering that is like it shrouds the planet.
That's right, and we really can't wait till 2013. I signed that petition also, and I noticed the date, and I do encourage everyone to sign any petition like that they know of, because it's one of the ways that we can make a statement. But to me, really, we've come to a crossroads as far as whether the planet's even going to survive. And I feel that our treatment of animals is absolutely critical to whether we'll be able to turn things around. I mean, we We simply have to stop the abuse of animals now.
Talk more about that. Because we had a discussion a couple weeks ago. I had someone on the show that said that Edgar Cayce said that a person might not be able to make a complete switch to being a vegetarian in one life.
And well, you know, we have to take into account, I mean, Edgar Cayce was wonderful. But, you know, when did he live? That was quite a
number. In the 30s.
That was quite a number of years ago, and consciousness has accelerated tremendously since then. And there's really no reason at all, except for some untrue belief that we hold, that we have to exploit animals in any way, or eat them, or drink their milk, or any of that. It just absolutely isn't necessary. It's really just a belief that people hold as being true when we can choose our beliefs. And when I think about it, I mean, I'm in my 60s and have many friends that are much older than I am.
That's our 2 minutes done, or we have a caller.
Hi, this is Caroline calling from Canada.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
It's Caroline from Canada.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi. What a wonderful, wonderful show.
I was wondering
if we could, I've always thought that us on the spiritual path, our pets are wonderful teachers. Like, they're like little masters in furry bodies. I was wondering what you thought of that.
I think you're absolutely right, Caroline. I feel, in fact, I just wrote an article about that, but one of the things that I wrote about, I spent a number of years being very physically sick when I was younger, and I had a lot of friends who were very spiritually focused and were traveling the world, visiting spiritual teachers and going to ashrams and all of that. And at that point in my life, I felt a little down that I wasn't able to do those things. But you know, Carolyn, you're right, because when I look back on my life, I can see really that I've always been surrounded by the greatest spiritual teachers, and they all had whiskers and little furry suits. So you're right. I mean, animals are really are in so many ways our greatest teachers. They teach us about patience and devotion, unconditional love, the transcendence of death, resurrection. I mean, there isn't one spiritual lesson that can't be learned from living with an animal and observing it closely and loving it.
I certainly agree. They open up our heart chakras and just blast them right open, don't they?
And Carolyn, do you have a story in your own life about
I do. I actually had a four-legged child that just got passed away last month.
Oh,
so sorry.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I had rescued her as well, and she gave us the best 6.5 years of our life, and she was the most glorious, wonderful teacher to both my husband and I, and we loved her dearly.
What was her name?
Yes. So we're hoping she'll come back to us again in another little body.
Oh, I think she will.
I've had a number of reincarnate cats. Are you there?
Yes, indeed, indeed.
Was it a cat or a dog?
It was a cat, but I got a feeling she's going to come back as a dog this time.
Well, that's why I couldn't tell when you were talking about her.
I think she is going to come back as a dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
She wants to try something a little different.
Yeah, this time she wants to come with us everywhere, and she sure will.
Oh.
She'll get to go on road trips and everything.
Absolutely, my friend.
That's wonderful.
Thank you for such a beautiful show.
Thank you, Caroline.
Shall we look deeply at when she's coming back and kind of make an appointment with her? Or is there any information about that, Sharon?
Caroline, when did she die?
She passed away about 5 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. What was her name?
Nyanya.
Oh, that's
It was
beautiful.
More of a sound rather than a name. It was weird. When I got her, I couldn't figure out a name. It was like she was telling me she wanted to be called like a tone, a sound, like a frequency.
Oh, that's very interesting. Very interesting. because I've had a lot of animals. I think that's a very real thing you picked up from her. A lot of animals have told me that they come from a dimension that's purely sound and music, and that they're actually used to sounds rather than names and words. So it's very wonderful that you were able to pick that up from her. I have a feeling she's doing something very important for you right now.
She was the best teacher, girls. I mean, seriously, she was my greatest teacher, and I totally agree. They're masters in little furry bodies.
Yes, they are. So I think that she's doing some work for you to help your life come into the very highest alignment possible, and that when that's finished, that she'll make a return. My sense is that it might be sometime toward the end of the summer.
Wonderful. That's what I feel, too.
And
so
you'll know where
right
to go to find her. I'm sorry, Sharon.
I say Carolyn's right on the mark.
Yeah.
And
Thank you so much.
I feel like you'll know when and where.
Pardon?
I feel like you'll know when and where to go find her. You'll just be shown.
I think so, too. It always works that way, doesn't it?
Yes.
And they find us.
Very well, just come right to the door.
I hope so. It's open.
That's happened for you, huh, Sharon?
It has.
That's happened for me, too.
Wow. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Loving.
Thank you for
blessings.
Calling, you beautiful soul.
Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings to
blessings.
You. Wow, that was fun.
And it really is true. I mean, every single spiritual lesson can be learned from an animal. I mean, not only for people who have companion animals, but even if you don't have a companion animal, going out into the forest and sitting with the wild animals, with the birds and the deer, we can learn everything from them. They're the greatest of teachers.
Yeah, and say something about how we have to stop being predators so they can stop.
Well, yes. I mean, it's an interesting thing. And again, I think it's just a kind of archaic belief that human beings hold collectively, that animals are, many animals are predatory by nature, and that's just part of nature, and we can't do anything about it. It's just the way it is, the survival of the fittest and all of that.
Oh, and that the herd has to be thinned.
The herd. We'll come back to that one.
Yeah.
every great spiritual teacher that I have ever connected with from any tradition, somewhere in their writing or speaking, has said that the behavior of animals is simply a mirroring of human behavior. And really, human beings are the biggest predators on the planet. And if we stop being predatory, we'll see in the blink of an eye that the animals will suddenly not be predatory either, that they will live on grasses and herbs and fruits and things that don't require the killing of other beings.
With great relief, what I understand
with
from them.
With great relief. And it says very clearly in the Bible that the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And many people think that's just a metaphorical statement, but it really is literally the truth. That as we come into an understanding of our oneness with all beings, as we stop being predatory, the lion and lamb will literally lie down together.
I am so looking forward to that. You know, all of the pictures of that, every once in a while I get a Christmas card with that, the
Isn't
lion lying down with the lamb. What?
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes. Oh, and I want to remind people of that book, Little Tyke.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes, there's a beautiful book that was written, gosh, I don't know, the 1930s or 40s, called Little Tyke, The Story of a Vegetarian Lioness. And it can be ordered, I think, on Amazon or anywhere pretty easily. But it's a whole beautiful story of a lioness who was rescued and raised by people. And she voluntarily was a vegetarian. The people that raised Little Tyke were told by the veterinarian that she would die if they didn't encourage her to eat meat. So they started putting blood in the milk they were giving her, and she wouldn't touch it. And then when she got to a certain age where she should be eating solid food, they tried to give her all kinds of meats and things, and she absolutely refused to eat it. And she lived to be one of the most beautiful specimens of a lioness you would ever see, and she lived to be very old, and absolutely an emissary from the animals to show us that eating meat and being predatory isn't a natural thing.
And there are pictures of her, actual pictures.
Yes.
Not computer-altered pictures, but pictures from the 50s of her actually lying down with a lamb.
That's right. And all kinds of other animals, too. They little chicks and dogs and cats, kittens. And there are also some incredible pictures of people trying to hand her a piece of meat, and she would literally turn her face away from it in disgust.
Well, didn't you say there was some news media that would bring, like, they would try to get her to eat meat and throw out, like, a handful of baby chicks or something?
Yes, yes.
In front of her, trying to disprove it.
Always people trying to kind of trick her and think that she would kill something and eat it, but she never, ever did. In fact, not only that, she took a very mothering perspective on any animal that was brought to her. So there are pictures of her not only with lambs, but with little chicks and kittens and other animals. And
Small
children. I mean, she just loved everything and everyone.
That's so wonderful. And think how good everyone would feel if we all just loved everyone and everything.
Sounds pretty easy to me.
What?
It sounds pretty easy to me.
Well, it is easy for you, and it's because you're awake and your heart is open. But I think that, you know, that fog of suffering that is around the planet is kind of conducive to people not waking up.
Well, it is. That's why the cessation of the horrible treatment of animals is key to really the survival of the earth, because if you think of all of the animals that are slaughtered every single moment, 24 hours a day around the world, I mean, just hundreds of thousands, if not millions of them, every minute, it creates a really dense and heavy vibration of fear and aggression, and all of the negative emotions are contained in that. And with that band of energy around the earth, which comes from the mistreatment of animals, that really prompts people to be unkind to each other. It prompts us to go into other countries as predators, to kill other people. So to me, it's a very key factor in our ability to turn things around and to be loving and to live in an earth that's peaceful and happy, and where mothers of every species can raise their children in the most beautiful circumstances.
Well, then people's question becomes, what are we going to do with all these animals? Love them.
Love them.
And make retribution. Make loving retribution
make
to them.
Make loving retribution, and we can, there's no reason at all that we can't stop instantly artificially breeding them, which is one of the problems, and love the ones we have. Take good care of them. It's not that big a deal.
Well, Sharon, I want to go back to that Edgar Cayce thing, because this guy that was on the show, I sort of got into it with him. I got into it with him Then I apologized on the air. Then I got into it with him again. Then I apologized again. Then I talked to him after the show. I got into it with him again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just kept saying this, you know, people can't, you know, can't quit eating meat in one embodiment or...
But it's a terrible negation of the power of the human spirit and the I Am presence. We can do absolutely anything. One of the challenges we face is that we don't realize our own power. We can do anything. We can overcome anything. We can change anything.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Sharon.
There's nothing that we can't do.
When I told you this, you said there may not be another embodiment. And I want you to talk some more about that. We may be out of chances, is what you basically said.
We very well may be out of chances. And I think, you know, really, literally, the shit is hitting the fan. And we each in our own way, we have to shape ourselves up. We have to stop cruelty of any kind. We have to be absolutely impeccable about the products that we use, what we eat, the vibration that we put out into the world in the way of our treatment of animals, plants, nature in general, other people. There just isn't time. There isn't time to wait for some great long evolution. And, you know, as some of the greatest teachers like Eckhart Tolle, I mean, the idea that all there is now, and in the now, in this one moment, we can change everything. The world can change now. We can change ourselves. We can simply say, from this moment forward, I'm not going to do anything that causes harm to another creature.
Oh, that feels so good. You know, I used to have a teacher that said it's a good thing to spend about 6 months meditating on what harmlessness is.
Yes.
And really, a lot of people don't know. Like my aunt, I remember she used to talk about something that somebody was doing in the family that was so terrible, and then she'd say, God bless her.
Oh.
You know, God bless
yeah.
her. And, you know, that just made her so holy and pure.
Right.
And it wasn't harmless at all.
Right.
And but I remember thinking as a little child, oh, she's so good. You know,
right.
I was fooled by that.
Right. Well, as children, we sometimes do get fooled because we look up to our mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles as being the grown-ups, and we expect that they know what we're doing. Or that they
we're hoping somebody knows what they're doing.
But I don't know about you, Iris. I can remember when I was about probably 5 years old when I realized that the grown-ups didn't know what they were doing. And it was a pretty devastating feeling. And it was about the same time when I was around five where I realized where meat came from.
That was a horrible shock, wasn't it?
Terrible. I mean, I literally shut down emotionally around that for years and years and years.
How did you handle it? Did they still make you eat meat?
They did when I was a child. I mean, I came from one good thing in my case was that I grew up in California. So when I was a child, we did eat meat, but it wasn't like great slabs of beefsteak or anything. It was more kind of, you know, California cuisine where there's a little of this and or that, which doesn't make it any better. But yes, as a child, I did eat meat. And as I got into my teenage years and I realized more of my own strength and power, little by little, I just would literally pick the meat out of whatever dish we were served, push it over to the side. And for years, I had this wonderful dog named Bijou who would sit under the table, and I would feed her everything that I didn't want.
Valuable service by dogs.
Yes. Not that was the best thing for her, but at the time, it was the best thing I could think of.
Yeah.
And as soon as I left my parents' home, I became a vegetarian.
Well, you know, I didn't, and I ate steak for years, and I totally forgot about that. I just forgot about it, Sharon. I just was, I think that by the time I left my parents' home, I was so full of pain that I had to process.
Right.
You know, and I got married to my true love, and it was a big contrast what we were creating from what we had come from. And we both had to process a lot of painful things, and we weren't even noticing that.
Right.
We weren't even noticing that until one day we were sitting having Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I had gotten these, I've always loved chickens, and I had gotten these little baby chicks at the feed store
oh.
that you could hold in your hand, and they were the sweetest things on earth. And I looked out the window, and these chickens would follow me around everywhere.
Oh.
And I just loved them. And I looked up, and I said, we're eating their friends. That was it for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was just it for me. And, but I don't think everyone's had that experience yet.
Well, I think it's a real important thing that you brought up, though, Iris, because I think that in various ways, a lot of children and young adults shut down around the whole idea of eating meat, because it really, as a child, I mean, you and I, and I'm sure millions of other people, were so shocked when we found out where the meat came from that it was almost like you either shut down in some way or you just couldn't stand to be here. And so I think...
And you couldn't live with the barbecuers of the universe.
That's right. So it's like everybody has their own way of shielding themselves from that. And I mean, I had to eat meat as a kid because my parents, I mean, they were wonderful people, but they just thought you would die if you didn't eat meat.
Yeah. So except for your dog's help.
Yes. But then my mother, bless her heart, when she became about 40, she became a complete vegan.
Wow.
So she made an amazing turnaround.
Wow.
So that's one good example that it's never too late, and also that we really can change anything in this present moment, because the present moment is all we have. Everything can change in an instant.
I know someone that quit smoking cold turkey. I know someone that was into really, really addictive drugs that quit cold turkey. Just blam!
There you go.
There you go.
So obviously it's quite possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell people how they can reach you, Sharon. And I want to say here, it's not like Sharon needs more clients. I have never seen anyone, when she's on vacation, she only does like 3 sessions a day. I just want to say you have helped me so much with my animals, and you've helped me know that I know what I'm hearing from animals.
Right.
You know, I've always heard them.
You have always heard them.
I have, but now I really trust, you know, and animals on the street will go, hey, I want you to tell my human this. I mean, I get things like that.
And you know, that's why I think your show is so important, and these discussions are so important, and how important it is for wonderful people like Caroline, who called in today, to call in and tell their story, because, you know, the more of us that come out of the closet and expose ourselves and expose our love for animals and the communications that we receive from them, the more other people will do it, too, and
because
you know, pretty soon the moment will come when everything turns around.
Yep. And not a moment too soon.
Not a moment too soon is right.
Well, tell people how they can reach you, Sharon.
I can be reached through my website, which is annaflora.com, A-N-A-F-L-O-R-A.com. People can go there and read about my work and email me right from there. And how do people get you, Iris?
My email is miracleshp@yahoo.com. And I realized that I may have two copies of Little Tyke. I know I have one to give away. So I would like to give that away to the first person that emails either one of us. And also I would like to give away five copies of Sharon's wonderful book, Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening. And I want to share that Sharon has a cat who's never had any shots or anything, who is 23 years old. And
going strong.
Yeah, and running the flower essence work and giving instructions every moment.
Yeah, she's a business cat.
Business cat. And she is just the greatest gift. I just love Lily. And Lily took part in writing this wonderful book. So, again, give your email, and I'll give mine. And I would love giving those books away to the first five people that email. So, Sharon?
Thank you, Iris. So I can be reached at Anaflora, A-N-A-F-L-O-R-A, at Snowcrest, S-N-O-W-C-R-E-S-T.net.
And I can be reached at Miracles, H-P, H-P, short for happen, at yahoo.com. That's Miracles, H-P, at yahoo.com. And Sharon, what else, my darling?
Well, I think that what we want to leave ourselves and our listeners with is the truth that miracles can happen every moment. And that the world, the beautiful world of peacefulness that we envision can happen now in this moment.
Oh, and I want to share for anyone that doesn't know about the Eckhart Tolle lessons from a new... You talk about it.
Oh, Eckhart Tolle, for anyone who doesn't... know it, who's one of the greatest spiritual teachers on the planet at this time, is doing a wonderful 8 or 9 part series with Oprah Winfrey every Monday night. Tonight's Monday, and it's all free. You can go to the Oprah, I think it's just Oprah.com,
yeah,
and tune in at 6 o'clock. That would be 6 o'clock. Our time will be different in other time zones. But it's absolutely wonderful. And Eckhart Tolle is an incredible animal lover and often uses references to animals as being able to teach us about enlightenment and being in the moment and peacefulness and transformation and all those good things.
Oh, that's so good. Well, what would you like to give people right now, Sharon?
I would like to ask something of people. I would just like to ask every person who's listening to us today to look deeply into the eyes of their animal companion, and if they don't have an animal companion of their own, to visit a neighbor or go sit in their yard, and just look deeply into the eyes of an animal and ask that animal's forgiveness for all the mistreatment that we have inflicted on animals over the years, and ask that animal to spread the good news that things are going to change any
very
moment.
Soon.
A
very
miracle
soon.
Is going to happen.
Very soon. And the animals are working on that, too.
They are.
In fact, the animals are working on changing the past so that no animals were ever abused.
We'll talk about that next time.
Yes. And I want to thank everyone so much for listening and being with us and for letting us know your animal stories. And there's also an email I'd like to send to people. You know, when you were talking about people feeling like they can't have an animal because of this or that, and it's called, I think, I'm having a baby, I have to get rid of my pet.
Oh.
And then there are all of these pictures, the most beautiful pictures of babies with animals. Did I send you that, Sharon?
Oh, you did. It's absolutely spectacularly wonderful.
Isn't it? And
yes,
it just lifts your spirits and your heart. So, Sharon, I thank you again for being with us. We're going to have another show before Mother's Day, and I don't have a date for it yet. But I thank all of our listeners. And this is our wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Our men, our women, our children, our animals, and yee-haw!